Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw the star, his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come to you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had been following in the east guided them to the Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
So, reading from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's normally the end of the chapter will be very familiar to us because it's one of the certainly one of my favourite benedictions, and possibly yours too. But it's helpful for us to read the whole chapter as Paul is unfolding for his readers something about his understanding of the mystery of Christ. So, Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And God's people said, Amen. So the other day, a man in the street tried to sell me 8 legs of venison for $250. And I said, that's too dear. Oh, dear. So I went from there to Coles, and another man was in there. I said, oh, there's a penny dropped over here. So our Parry Street friends were a little slow. I went to Coles and a man started throwing milk and cheese at me. I thought, how dare he? Appearing here most weeks. Words, play on words, whether we find those things funny or not, but words in our language can have different meanings and different senses depending on how they're used. And it's the same as in the biblical languages as it is in our modern English. A couple of pictures for you. Thank you, Stacey. What would you say that was about? What are all those pictures have in common? Full? Yeah. So the petrol tank, the water's overflowing, a full moon, and not everyone needs this last product, which is for full-bodied hair. Fullness. Fullness. That's a word I want us to really take hold of. Been trying to pray about, understand the Lord's leading for us as a fellowship in 2016. And trying to get a sense of what it is we can unite around that will enable us to go deeper in our understanding of who God is for us. Have a real sense of conviction that this for us this year needs to be a year of going deeper into the things of God. And our word for the year, under God's gracious guiding hand, is this: fullness. Fullness. A word that means quite a lot, not just overflowing. Well, think about that word for you, and then remember that verse at the end of Ephesians 3 where St. Paul prays for his readers, that's us. St. Paul prays that we would know the love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Such a tremendously deep, loaded concept. A couple of more pictures, please. Next one, please. So this is from early on in Ephesians. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So fullness in that verse is about who God is himself. Well, the next one. Again, Colossians chapter 1, for in him all the fullness of God, it's about who God is, was pleased to dwell. It's talking about Jesus. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Fullness. And the next one, please. So I learned about this event this week. We thought we might have another one of these events this week, depending on where you live. So that's the Pashabalka from the 2007 storm. And The Greek word that the Bible uses for fullness is pleroma. Pleroma. And we can use it in a number of different ways. The word is used when it's talking about the fact that the ship is full. That's pleroma. But it's also used to describe what the ship is full of. So the ship is full of cargo. It's the same word. Can you see that? So the ship is full, and the ship is full of cargo. And the ship is also on the beach, which just makes it unusual. This idea of fullness, then, is about something bigger than just overflowing. It's about who God is for us and what God has for us. It's about us taking hold of our place in his story, us taking hold, taking seriously the place he has for us in his great cosmic rescue plan for the world. The world seems a long way away from here. Anywhere you want to go is a long way, isn't it? Pretty much. But nevertheless, the adventure that we're invited to be part of is God's rescue plan for the world. And we've all got a job to do in that. And I've strongly sensed that for us this year, in taking hold of what this idea of fullness might be for us individually and as a congregation, I'm going to ask that we look at that concept in our Bible study groups. I'm going to ask that we look at that in all the various expressions of church. The Oasis team are taking that on as well. We want people who come here to discover fullness of life in Christ, in all that it means, everything that it can possibly hold for us. So a bit of a theme word for the year, perhaps, and you may well get fed up with it in a couple of weeks' time, but I still think that's something we need to take hold of. Fullness. Because I think some of us are missing out. Paul writes about this concept of fullness because God revealed it to him, that that's what he had for him. It speaks of our experience of grace as well as the one who does that work of grace. It gives us a real sense of the mystery of what it is to participate in the divine nature. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. Participation in the divine nature. I don't know what you are praying for our core in this new year. Lots of things, possibly. I hope we all agree that we're praying for growth. We are not here for ourselves. We are not here for ourselves. We are placed in a community where people need to discover fullness of life in Christ. They just don't know it. And lots being said and lots more will be said about fixing the army through things like Forward Together. And I know that that is a bittersweet concept for many. But let me tell you this, because I know it to be true, and so do you. Nothing is going to fix the army apart from us taking seriously what it is to belong to Jesus. Nothing's going to fix the army, this core or any other part of it, in any part of the world, actually, if it needs fixing, other than God's people taking seriously the life of discipleship to which we're called. Nothing's going to fix us unless we take seriously that we are actually still a holiness people. I haven't seen it change. It still says that. We are a holiness people, set apart. Set apart for the salvation of the world. It still says that in our soldier's covenants as well. Don't look to other people, be they captains, majors, commissioners, or anything else, to fix the army. If you want to fix the army, we and me will start here. The fullness of God. And opening ourselves up to the possibility of the fullness that he has for us, the fullness of experience of life with him, all that we can possibly discover about life with him, and all that then will be unable to stop being compelled to be driven out into the world to testify about that experience. We are a holiness people, part of a salvation army. There is a work of salvation still to be done. If you want to fix anything in church, then that's where we start, because that's where God starts, because he comes to look for me. He comes to look for you, and he brings us home. And then he says, go and tell others. And it's really simple. You can organize whatever you like, whoever you like, and no doubt lots of organizational things will be good for us if it helps us to get out and do that. So, fullness for Newcastle Worship and Community Centre and Oasis. Fullness. Proclaiming fullness, living fullness, discovering fullness, inviting other people into a life of fullness. What might you be thinking to yourself now? Has any of that to do with Epiphany? We can just change the picture now, please. Paul writes about his own epiphany. Epiphany is another one of those Greek words. It means manifestation or appearing, a showing, a discovery. Paul's own discovery that he was invited to see something of the possibility of life with God, fullness of life in Christ. Paul writes about in Christ, the experience of in Christ all the time. He was granted insight into what God was doing. And his discovery was this, that the promises of God were no longer just for the select Jewish people, but for everybody. The Gentiles, he uses that word. Everybody is invited into the family of God. Everybody is invited into the family of God. He saw that as a possibility, and in his day, that was a groundbreaking thing. And you and I think we've got used to it, because we kind of assent to that. Of course, everybody's welcome. The challenge for us is to actually make that real, to make that welcome real, to make that welcome and a tangible thing where someone else feels that sense of belonging. And that's about how you and I are with people. It's about you and I avoiding the temptation to make it look like everything's sorted on the outside, when in fact we're just as messed up on the inside as anyone else is, except for the grace of Jesus. We are, all of us lost, except that Jesus has found us and brought us home to himself. Paul was unable to see that message that everyone could belong. And that seeing drove his serving. Verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me to the working of his power. Are you seeing? Are you seeing new possibilities of fullness for you, for your life, for our church, for your part in it? And are you serving according to that vision? Everyone's got a job to do. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how well you are, how ill you are. Everyone's got a job to do, and we need everyone to do it. Are you seeing the possibilities of what God has for us this year? Are you serving according to that vision? Are you putting all your energies and your efforts into seeing that come to fruition? Because we serve out of the fullness of all that God has for us. Because when we serve that way, then we spread that message. Epiphany is about seeing, serving, and spreading a message of fullness possibility. Paul says in verse 9 about making plain to everyone the good news that Jesus loves them. Making plain to everyone. It's a tremendous promise. When you and I attempted to give up on the church, and all of us have been, when you and I attempted to give up, grab hold of the possibility of fullness of life, the fullness of life of experience that God has for us. When we think we can hardly make a difference to anybody, God promises through his word to us that he shows his wisdom and power. And he does that by grace, and he does it through the church, of which we are a part. And the church, says one commentary I read, which is Christ's body, has overcome the authority of Satan. I figure that might excite us a little. The church, which is Christ's body, has overcome the authority of Satan because he has. Jesus has overcome all those other authorities, those principalities, and nailed them to a cross and made a spectacle of them. And you and I are invited into fullness of life with him. Whatever's going on in your life right now, whether things be positive or negative, things may be having some setbacks, all sorts of problems, but that doesn't change the fundamental and eternal truth. You're invited into fullness of life with him. A fullness of life that says there is more to this, there is more meaning, there is more to be discovered, and there is more to be lived out. There are people who need you and your witness this week. There are people who need you to be the difference. There are people who need you to be alongside them this week, tomorrow. Your worship, Danny's right, your worship's not just about Sunday, it's about tomorrow, it's about Tuesday afternoon. It's about every moment and every day counting for Christ. And we've all got work to do. We've all got more that we need to see by his grace. More that we can do to serve and more that we can do to spread. Newcastle Worship and Community Centre is, as far as we're concerned, the front line of the Salvation Army in Newcastle. So don't look to everyone else to do what you think should be going on. So you think, well, the army should be doing that, or the army should be doing that. Well, yes, maybe, but the army's you. So, and I'll try and do the same. Let's turn those criticisms back to ourselves this year. And let's try and live in the fullness of God together. Let's ask people how that's going. Let's make our conversations not superficial, how are you going and how's the weather, but how are you going with Jesus, and how can I pray for you, and how can I support you, how can I be alongside you, how can I encourage you? That's what Christian fellowship is actually about. Koinonia fellowship. It's not tea and coffee. You've made it tea and coffee. It's not, you know. It's the people of God coming alongside each other and saying, how are you going with Jesus? Let's have those conversations in 2016. Because if you have those conversations with each other, they'll be much easier to have those conversations with people that don't know Jesus. You practice here to be equipped out there. Salvation Army friends, however you identify with us, our business is the salvation of the people. There's really nothing new in that, is there? A holiness people, separated for his service, for his glory. This morning I read from Jeremiah in my own readings, and this verse stood out for me. So it happens you don't write things down, isn't it? It's gone. There's a verse in somewhere in Jeremiah chapter 7 where God says, you stood on the crossroads and looked at the ancient path and chose not to take it. That's my paraphrase. Friends, we can stand on the crossroads, and the ancient path is one simply of reminding us that we're all called to fullness of life in Christ and called to proclaim that simply, called to live that. Or we could just take another road ahead that seems easier. But you get a little bit too far down that road and you think, do you know what, this isn't working. We're called back to ancient pathways. I'm convinced of that. You want to fix this place if you think it needs fixing. It's about the people of God taking holiness seriously. That's about us taking the fact that we are a salvation people seriously. People need you. People need you. We say, oh, people need the Lord, people need the Lord. We sing that over and over sometimes. They say, yes, of course they do, but they need you. They need you to get there. So I'm committing myself to discovering more about God's fullness this year. For myself, to teach it, preach it, share it, share something of the life of that, but also to be more intentional in that we invite other people not just to come to stuff, but to come and enter the family of God and enter the fullness of God for themselves. That other people, everybody, might know the love that surpasses knowledge, that they too may be filled to all the measure of all the fullness of God. I hope and pray that's something we can all get on board with. I'm going to take time to reflect on what God is saying to you. This place of commitment, dedication, prayer, whatever it means for you, is available. Maybe now is the time not just to worship, but to commit yourself to a life of fullness, in order that we might be an effective salvation people, because they need you. You are needed. There's more than enough to go around. You are needed to see, to serve, to spread the good news.